They're really hiring him though.
Bro, from the minute he got hired by Impact, I said he's gonna win the world title. I don't know when, but within the first 5 years of him being in Impact, he would have won that title. And I think it's either been a year or two. It might have been a year or so.
Fair enough.
It's weird because I can't unsee it.
You see it. That's your vision. And we'll come back.
When I'm right, I promise you that episode of Indie Taker is going to be all reverb. I'm going to cause my hell out of that podcast. I'm going to spoil it. It boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling right. You ain't even got to get your purses out. Boy, we are back. It's been how long? We were meant to do something last week, but yeah. Shit happened.
You know, he was gallivanting in LA.
I was in LA. Jim wasn't feeling too well. How are you feeling today, though, bro? You good?
Yeah,
now,
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Indie Takers, It Boys, we are back in the building. It's been a while, man. It's your boy, Del Boy. Got my co-host with me, Young Jim, Young Wolf.
Yo.
Young Sasuke. Yo. And boy.
How's my mic come out of its stand? Mid-recorded.
Dead.
Wait there. Oh, my days.
Technicals.
No, we're keeping this in.
Technicals.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, man. We are live. And boy, we've got jam-packed episode. We've got so much to talk about. We've pretty much got two weeks worth of content to speak about. Even before we start, make sure you guys also check out Revolution Radio. It is an AEW exclusive podcast hosted by Mex and NK. So make sure you guys check that out. It's going to be every Thursday live from, I think, about 7 p.m., 8 p.m. And it's also going to be on the podcast streams as well. So you can also get the audio for that. Yeah, man, Wrestling's Boys, the team, the whole mandem, the family, we're just creating more content. 2K content is coming soon as well. We just need 2K to fucking patch the fucking game so the mandem can eat. Get me? We need Gem to start releasing. We need Ola to start releasing. I mean, Ola hasn't started 2K23 yet. We need Nathan. Yeah. I think Nathan starts this week as well, isn't it? But we move, man. We move. Where should we start off, bro? Supercard of Honor?
Oh, boy. Yeah, man. Let's go.
Supercard of Honor. How did you find the pay-per-view?
I enjoyed it.
What you saw and what I saw are two different things.
Is it?
I was there live. Yeah. So my experience is probably a bit different to what you saw. But obviously, I rewatched it because I enjoy watching sports and commentary in it. So,
of course. But yeah. My experience, I thoroughly enjoyed the show. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Yeah.
There was maybe one or two matches I would have just taken off or had in the pre-show because I just didn't feel like they did anything for me throughout the show. But in terms of like commentary, obviously, we saw Nigel come out first thing. I say, yeah, cool.
That was
off to a great start. That was dope. But yeah, I think the flow of the show was nice. Some results.
Oh, don't get me started. Dave, a sub. Two results pissed me the fuck off.
Yeah. I know which ones you're talking
about.
Two
results pissed me the fuck off, man. But I mean, like yourself, I enjoyed, like, top to bottom for me, it was, I don't think a Ring of Honor have missed so far since coming back. Like, in terms of pay-per-views, they haven't missed. The results, though, you can tell that Tony Khan is the one booking this shit. Let's be honest. You can tell. Do you know what I mean? But we're gonna go top to bottom for the results of the card. Did you watch the 0 Hour?
I did not. No. I'm not gonna say I did.
I didn't watch it either. So we're gonna start off first with El Hijo del Vikingo versus Commander for the AAA Mega Championship match. We were mad late. We literally got to the arena maybe like 10 minutes. I mean, the last 2 minutes.
Ah.
They were doing their final sequence.
So
we didn't actually see the match. I watched it after, but the match was great.
What did you think? When you watched it back?
When I watched it back, I thought the match was good. It was a great opener, and it was a great way to showcase, like, if you've never seen these guys before, one, where are you and why are you underneath a rock? Because these men have had their visas for God knows how long and they've been killing it. They've been up and down. They've been GCW. They've probably been Defy. They've been everywhere. They have been everywhere. So if you haven't seen them and this is your first time seeing them, because there was a lot of kids at the Ring of Honor show as well, so I can assume that it's probably a lot of their a lot of their first time watching them. Yeah. And what an amazing opener.
Bro, you know? So good.
What an amazing opener.
If you want to see a match that demonstrates and showcases what Lucha Libre is all about, like, you just need to go and watch that match. And for everyone that was on social media the week before, 2 weeks before, talking about who's Vikingo? You know now who this guy is. This guy is the future of Lucha Libre wrestling, man. Like, he, just some of the stuff he does just shouldn't be possible. Like, turning inside out, like, doing a 450 on himself, or, like, that thing that he does where he bounces off the ropes and then does, like, the...
Or, like, the arm drag.
The arm drag thing. Fam, he's just different. Like,
even Commander's rope walk, like, I've been seeing him do that for the past year, and it's like every time he does it, I'm still shocked by it. Because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Doesn't make sense.
How anybody can be so poised to just walk the rope and then either do like a senton or like a sky twister or something like that. That match was just an excellent match, man, honestly. And it's like, sometimes in wrestling, I feel like a lot of fans have this notion of, well, what's the story? But sometimes when it comes to certain things, you don't necessarily need any context.
Need a story, yeah.
This was just a world title match where this is just a showcase. If you've never seen Lucha Wrestling before, or if you didn't watch AEW Kenny versus Vikingo, this is your in. This is your in to see two
pretty much
world-class performers do what they do best, and they knocked it out of the park, man.
Pretty much, man. Absolutely. Solid match.
The park. The next match we had was the Embassy versus AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik. We were wrong about this result. I think we both had a feeling that AR Fox, Blake Christian, Metalik would win. It was a good match.
It was a good match. I think that's down to because of the whole Brian Cage fiasco.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
So it looks like he's re-signed and no one's probably caught wind of it, or people just don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great match. The Embassy look better than ever. And the more I see them, the more I'm on your side of the fence now, where I feel like they should just move mad. They should just do a United Empire or Bullet Club or TMDK and just expand into different promotions and build.
They need at least 10 men. They need 10, like, bro, you can't be called the Embassy and you're just a trio. You need, like, because the Embassy before in Ring of Honor had a lot of men. Like, these men can recruit. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, someone like a Blake Christian at one point maybe turns heel and ends up joining the Embassy. Because there's a, bro, AR Fox is great. Metalik is great. Blake Christian is amazing. But there's something about Blake Christian where I can honestly see them building this new Ring of Honor around.
Yeah.
Like, bro, it's just like, he's just too crisp with it and it doesn't even make any sense.
You said this the first episode we did. That, bro, you feel like he's one of the pillars of Ring of Honor.
Bro, it makes sense. Like, just that match with Zack Sabre Jr., I was just like, you know what? I've always thought this guy was good, but for him to be able to, for them to put them in this type of match, it shows that maybe Tony sees something in him and that he wants to build this company around him. And I think it makes sense, man. You know?
Facts.
A question I have for you, in terms of like the six-man tag titles, who do you think is next in line, or better yet, who do you think is going to be the team to beat the Embassy?
Oh, that's a good question still. Because, see, the team that I want to say, I'm just going to say it. Right, I feel like a division of the United Empire should take the titles.
Okay.
I would like that personally. Would it happen? I don't think so. But that's, I don't know. Like, this, the team that beats them also needs to be very, very credible. Like, they need to be, that's because that's how Tony Khan's building them up, like, to just be this unstoppable force. Sort of like a bloodline kind of thing. Not obviously on their level storytelling wise, but yeah, like, just in terms of credibility, they're really, really going to be. The team that beats them needs to be on their level of like, okay, when I'm watching this match, I believe that you guys can actually take them out.
Yeah.
So that's my pick personally. Yeah. What about you?
I mean, I wouldn't be against that. I think that would be sick because like we keep saying, factions, This isn't the WWE. Factions can move around.
Facts.
They can plot themselves in different companies. And obviously, we know Ring of Honor and New Japan have their relationship.
Yeah.
We could easily see a section of UE that haven't got title belts that could potentially, you know, because I feel like so far, Ring of Honor haven't really established like many trios.
They haven't really established many trios.
So it will be kind of hard to like, I don't know. My only thing is I wouldn't want them, well, it's Tony Khan, so I wouldn't want him to book it like AEW, where he has the trios titles, where he has them champions on a mad streak, and then out of nowhere, someone just comes and then they end up winning.
As opposed to building,
and this is my problem, and I'm harping on about it as well. It's just the whole building of a division.
Yeah.
We need to be able to kind of see plenty of potentials rather than us looking at the booking of like one in, one out. Like everybody could potentially shine and have some sort of, I don't know, man, but I'm not against UE. I think UE would be amazing. UE would be great. Then we had the ROH Women's Championship, Athena versus Yuka Sakazaki. I fucked in this match. I can't lie. This was a banger. But this here, baby, I love this match. I can't lie.
I thought it was good.
This match is cold, man.
I didn't know it was going to get banger stars on the show.
I fucked with it, man. I can't lie to you. I was invested in this match. Were there probably other better matches? I mean, yeah. But for me, this hit everything. From the entrances, Athena's entrance was just...
I said this literally just now, right? To a few people, Ola being one of them. Shout out to Ola. Athena is doing God's work with that women's championship.
Right. Like,
she's made that belt one of the most prestigious women's championships in all of wrestling right now, which is crazy to hear considering I didn't know where she was going to go when in Ring of Honor first came back and she won the title. I didn't know what she was going to do. Bro, week after week after week, banger after banger after banger, consistently. She's gone, man. She's clear.
Nah,
she tricked me.
Yeah, no, her and Yuka Sakazaki, just like their chemistry together is incredible. Like there was one spot where Yuka ran and jumped off the stage. That looks sick to see. Like even just Yuka's like energy, like she just gives me like this infectious feeling. Like she reminds me of like NXT Bayley.
Mm.
Like that's the kind of vibe she gives me. Like she's such a lovable person. Like, and we had kids in front of us that were cheering for her.
I was just gonna ask you, what was the crowd like towards her?
Second, I think they fucked with her.
Yeah.
Like, from what I remember, the crowd fucked with this match heavily. Like, it was a good match, man. And I saw videos online, because obviously Ring of Honor didn't show any mention of it. Trinity was in the crowd.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She was watching tentatively to this match. I mean, I'm hearing people are saying that they think that Trinity might show up in Ring of Honor. She might be the person to beat Athena.
How do you feel about that?
It's crazy because I don't want to say that Trinity is above Ring of Honor, but then at the same time, I don't believe anybody's above
Ring of Honor. Anything.
Like if it's in you to go and work, Ring of Honor is a good step.
Yeah. Right.
My only problem is we're having this conversation, who's probably gonna be the person to beat her. We're still kind of like getting a feel of what this division is looking like. You know, we've got the Kylie Rae. We've got the Sky Blues, we've got Willow, we've got a plethora of women that have been wrestling consistently, but there's still no Trish Adora, but we still haven't got like a set division.
Set roster, yeah.
It just seems like women are either just wrestling or they're pulling up for the title. There's no real like stories that are intertwining in terms of like the actual division, which is what we should see.
Yeah.
For us to kind of get an idea of, okay, cool, what could potentially happen moving forward. So, I'm intrigued to kind of see what happens moving forward. But for now, keep that belt on Athena, man.
Keep that belt on Athena.
Or even let her take that belt to Japan. Let her take that belt everywhere and just fucking defend it. Because
I feel like, do you feel, question as well? I'll leave this question to the very end. But one thing I will say is, there may not be history between them two in terms of Athena and Trinity, but they can still tell a story from where they both were.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So it would be quite an entertaining story, but My heart is set on Willow winning the Ring of Honor Women's Championship.
I'm not against that at all. I'd love for that.
But I just don't know whether they're going to let Trinity hold it. If she does come into Ring of Honor, let Trinity hold it for a couple of months, maybe 3 or 4 months. Then she goes to AEW and she's a main staple in the AEW women's division. And then you kind of move Willow back into the title picture. We'll see.
Because the thing is, even if Trinity, like, again, this is indie takers. We don't want to talk too much on AEW.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is, what do you think will serve her better? Would it be working AEW, where obviously a bit more eyes on you, it's national TV, AEW's AEW?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it make sense for her to now go to Ring of Honor, where she could be her, like, be who she wants to be, less noise, there's not that many people that you're competing against, and you are generally going to be the biggest star in, not even necessarily just for the women's division, you're the biggest star in that company.
Yeah.
If it's, I think it's fair to say. If Trinity was to go to AEW, she'd to Ring of Honor, she'd most likely be the biggest star, whereas with AEW, I do feel like there's an issue with shiny toy syndrome, where Tony will sign people. He will give them a small push here and there. They'll be on week-to-week TV, cutting promos, you know, interrupting people's promos, have a match here and there, but then they kind of get lost in the shuffle. Whereas with Ring of Honor now still just, like, restarting again, she can cement her place.
Yeah, facts.
She can definitely cement her place. So, like, what would you say is, what would you prefer? Where would you prefer to see her?
I would prefer to see her in Ring of Honor, personally, because I want to see Trinity wrestle. I feel like she's shown so many signs when she was in the E that she can go in the ring and she has what it takes to actually hold great matches. Of course, with how is it so entertainment heavy, we've only seen maybe her go for like 15 minutes max, 20 minutes max. I would want to see her have a 30-minute banger, like just wrestle. I just want to see her wrestle. And if she goes to AEW, she can do that. Don't get me wrong, but it won't be as consistent as it is on Ring of Honor. And it'll be a lot more story driven than wrestling driven. So, like you said not long ago, it depends on what she wants to do in it. Either way, I don't really care. The shiny toy syndrome, I hear it, but I don't think if she went to AEW, I genuinely feel like TK would protect her in case he wanted to do Trinity versus Mercedes at Forbidden Door.
That's a good point.
Which would be mad. Like, for them two especially, to come full circle like that, hey, that's insane. So, I think Ring of Honor, though.
You know what? With us discussing that, I think I'm for either Willow or Trinity winning the Ring of Honor women's title.
Mm-hmm.
I see the vision. I definitely see the vision. All right. Samoa Joe versus Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor TV Championship.
This result pissed me off.
This was a good match. This was a very, 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 very good match.
Great storytelling.
Great storytelling. You know, we have Mark who's chasing this TV title. He's never beaten Samoa Joe in a match. This was, especially with the fact that we were having the tag team titles next.
Mm-hmm.
Mark should have won.
Yeah.
Let's keep it a stack. Mark should have won. I honestly don't see why this result came into play.
It's not me. It's actually not making sense. Like, the more I sit here and try and think about it, the more questions that pop into my head and the more it just doesn't make sense. Like, Joe's fine. Joe could do without this title. You could have put Joe into the world title picture if you really wanted to. Like, you could have moved him up against Claudio, because I don't know who's next for Claudio personally.
We'll
get there. But Mark should have won, man. Honestly, when I saw the ending of the match, Mark, when that excitement just goes,
bro. Me, Mex, Lloyd, and Mark, we just all looked at each other like, come on, really intrigued. This wasn't the result that should happen.
Mm-mm.
It's like, and for me, it took away from a good match.
Yeah,
it took away from a very good match, because really and truly, Mark should have had his moment. Nobody deserved to have that moment more than Mark. So, and you know, I'm sure at some point we're probably going to get some sort of there's probably a reason for this booking. There's probably
maybe
at a bigger show they want to give him the opportunity to win the title. But come on, this is WrestleMania week, Supercard of Honor. Mark could have easily won the title.
We had our heart sets on it.
Yeah.
Everyone thought Mark was the guy. But
yeah. And I don't know, man. Really and truly, like someone who is a pillar, a backbone of Ring of Honor, it would have just made sense for him to just win the title. Samojo's had a great run. That doesn't take away from him. They could have easily done maybe like a back and forth, similar to what Samoa Joe and Finn Balor done when they were doing the back and forth with the NXT title. Could have
and that was done great.
That was good. I wouldn't have minded a Mark Briscoe 2-month run because already Tony Khan likes to book people to give them 20 defenses before pay-per-view anyways. So by that point, Mark Briscoe would have probably had 20 defenses, would have had 20 successful defenses before he lost it back to Samoa Joe, and then they could have done a back and forth. Like, I would have been fine with that. I probably would have complained, but in hindsight, I would have looked back like, yeah, it made sense. Whereas now I'm just like, I don't know what happens next. Like, I don't know. It was just a dampener, man. It was a dampener. But yeah. Then we have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Daniel Garcia. This was a decent match.
It wasn't. It's not the Tanahashi of old, you know.
Yeah.
But
those knees still aren't helping him, man.
It's not, fam. Do you think you should pack it up?
The thing is, yeah, the human in me is saying, yeah, he needs to pack it up, but I'll never get tired of seeing him. Like, his entrance, his aura, like, he's Tanahashi, so you never get tired. It's just that sometimes I'm watching and I'm just like, yo, them knees are probably going to pack itself in soon. And, like, for me, I'm just watching as a worried fan. Like, I don't want this guy to come and collapse himself. But one thing I will say about Tanahashi is the fact that what he lacks for in ring now at the moment, he makes up for in terms of like charisma and storytelling.
I mean,
he's not Tanahashi of 2013, 2014. Mm-mm. But you can see in terms of like the other things, like his facial expression, where he's able to rile up the crowd, you know, just some of the sequences he's still able to do. It's like, you know what, he's still a god in this shit. He's still a goat, you know, so I'll always salute him for that. It's just that I just don't want him to now come and Lex Luger himself. Not Lex Luger, fucking Sid Vicious himself. You know what I mean? I don't want him to Sid Vicious himself. Because I know, like, bro, I play basketball. So I know having bad knees does. I know what them knee pains and having... I know what it does, bro. And, bro, listen. I know what it does. So I just don't want him to now come and maybe go for a drop kick or maybe go for a high five flow and next thing you know, need done. I don't want him to but yeah, it was the result we thought we were gonna get.
Facts, yeah. It's like watching Ric Flair, innit? Like when Ric Flair was always like story. You could tell stories through his in-ring performance, but as he got older and we used to see him on like Raw in 2002-03 or whatever, he really used to just tell stories in the ring and just be over dramatic, and I feel like that's where Tanahashi's kind of getting to now.
I don't know if I see him rest. I don't know. I think maybe by the time he's 50, he's going to retire.
I know. How old is he now?
He's like 46, I think.
Oh, yeah, later. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's still back it up.
Them knees of his, it's not doing well for him. Then next, we had the Reach for the Sky ladder match, which included Aussie Open, Top Flight, Kingdom, LFI, and Lucha Brothers. And
this probably my match of the weekend.
Honestly, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Ring of Honor's tag team division, and I'm sure we said this before, it is the best tag team division in wrestling.
Thank you.
No other company, I don't care whether it's WWE, I don't care if it's AEW, I don't care if it's... I don't give a shit. In terms of totality and how stacked, and in terms of like the team's placements as well, because that's another important thing. You can have great tag teams in a company, but if they're not being used well, I'm so sorry, I don't give a shit. If they're not being put in good feuds or high profile matches, or I don't see them week to week having decent matches, I'm so sorry, I don't give a fuck.
I don't care, yeah.
I can create them a 2K23 and give them better matches, is it? Do you know what I mean? But Ring of Honor have the best tag team division. I don't give a shit what anyone says.
100%. No, and 100%.
They all showed out.
Facts.
Aussie Open, they showed out. Top Flight, showed out. Kingdom, showed out. LFI, showed out. The Lucha Brothers, bro, you see the Stole Raw. The Aussie Open are over. Top Flight are over. Kingdom are over. LFI are over. Lucha Brothers are bro. To hear the reaction when they came out.
Mad. I can only imagine.
Bro, it was nuts.
Mm-mm.
It was absolutely nuts.
It made sense then.
It was nuts, man. And bro, like, what else can we say about this match?
It was
that hasn't been said.
From top to bottom, they just killed it. Like, everybody just did their thing. Obviously, there was that one mishap.
Dante. Dante. Wishing you a speedy recovery, bro. He collapsed his ankle.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a good couple months.
Broke that shit. He's going to be out for time, man.
I don't know if he'll come back the same, but God willing, he will.
God willing, man. Because that spot there...
I don't even see. That's my only critique. That's what there didn't need to be done, in my opinion. Like, as much as because I don't even, you can't practice a sport like that. So they must have just said, cool, like, we're going to do this. This is the sport. Are you sure? Yeah, cool. I'm sure. Cool. We'll do it. We'll run it. First attempt, boom, ankle gone. And you then sit there as from a fan and you kind of just like, did you guys need to do that?
Yeah.
You know?
It was a bit too much. Like, initially, when I saw it, when he was setting up for it, I was thinking maybe he's just going to go for the fear factor, the package power driver.
Power driver, yeah.
That's probably a safer option in terms of, you know, potentially getting... that's a safer option rather than the Canadian Destroyer, because there's a lot of motion that's added into that. Someone now needs to try and land on their feet. Yeah, it was a bit... Yeah, it was a bit too much. But I think, looking back now, I think the right team won.
Yes.
The right team won. I do think Lucha Brothers do need a bit of time. Like, I did want Aussie Open to win.
Yeah, same.
But that's it's been made up for with their recent match.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that. But yeah, I think Lucha Brothers are the right team. What else can we say about the Lucha Brothers that hasn't been said already?
They're just clear, man. They're actually just clear. They're two of the greatest. And it's mad saying that, like, from, like, our era where Lucha Libre isn't glorified as much as it used to be back then, but they are two of the greatest luchadors we've ever seen.
Yeah. Ever.
Shout out to them too, honestly. Deserved winners. And I definitely think Mark had a hand in who won the match. I don't think that was solely down to TK. Mark probably said, give it to these two.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Next match, we have Willa versus Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah, turn on the mic, fam.
What type of music is this? This is your baby.
This match,
brother. Brother. Yeah, this match was.
This match cooked.
This match, yeah. Yeah.
I knew on paper you just knew something special was going to come out of this match. You just knew.
Yeah.
And Shibata being kind of what you can say is back full time now.
It's looking like he had like three matches that we come, I'm assuming.
It's insane. And from where he was to where he is now, he's the reason why I started watching New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I'm always going to be a fan. I'm always going to adore him. When I heard that music, I just, you know, you just sit there, you just smile, you just. I could only imagine what it sounded like and what the fans were like when.
Bro, I was chatting to them lot after that. I'm like saying to them, man, I'm like, we've actually seen Kota Ibushi live, and you see Shibata live in LA.
That's insane.
And well, I mean, to be fair, we saw Tanahashi at New Japan, but we're seeing these men live. But more so Shibata, because he's not wrestling everywhere. And Ibushi just came back to wrestling from an injury.
As a man, we're enjoying.
Bro, it's mad, fam. But this match, credit to Wheeler Yuta. You know, I know we cuss him a lot. But one thing I'll never deny is Wheeler Yuta is an incredible wrestler.
Facts.
I will never deny it. Like, as much as I criticize his pure championship reign, I will never deny that he's a great wrestler. He's an incredible wrestler. And, you know, he needed to lose this match.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to lose this match. One, he needed to be free from a title because whatever BCC
they're doing.
And two, we need to start making a clear division for pure title. Shibata needs the title. Shibata needs, you know, So that way other people can be having pure matches and we can create a division and, you know, Shabbat doesn't have, like, the pure title doesn't need to be on every week. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That's not a title that needs to be defended every single week. You don't need to be having 50 people you've defended the title against, which was my problem with the Utes title.
Yes. Yeah.
Title reign. And even Daniel Garcia's to a team. Because mm-hmm. you don't have to be defending that every single week or every 2 weeks. Let people be hungry to get this belt to prove, like, let people prove to you why they deserve to fight you for the belt. Not you just doing open exhibitions. Like, that's one of my criticisms of Tony Khan's book in general. He just likes, like, not everyone has to be a fighting champion, man. What the fuck? Not everyone has to be a fucking fighting champion. What the fuck?
So with Shibata now being champion, would you do a thing where we don't see him for weeks on end and you just let people cook in this division, let's say?
I mean, it's already too late for that now. He fucking defended the belt against Christopher Daniels, which is a decent, it was a good match. It was a good match. But, I mean, what I would easily do is maybe just, like, maybe have him, like, every 2 weeks, but he doesn't necessarily have to defend the title. Like, that's just my thing. I don't think...
Like a proven ground type match sort of.
Either maybe, like, a proven ground title match one day. Or maybe, I don't know. I just don't feel like the pure title needs to defend it. Unless for him, he's doing maybe like a Jonathan Gresham where he's saying, I am the greatest pure, so that's why I'm defending it all the time. All comers can come. Da, 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 da. But at the same time, I feel like when it comes to wrestling, like, when it comes to title belts as well, like, yeah, you can call people out, but at the same time, I feel like you also need to prove yourself.
Yeah, you need to be worthy, bro. Like, for someone like Shibata as well, you need to be worthy. Not everyone's just going to get in the ring with someone like him. You know what I'm saying? And he shouldn't. He's got that aura about him where he's like, if you're going to face me, I need to see something from you. I need to see what you're really on.
Yeah.
So it's either you face me in a non-title match and prove yourself, or, you know, like you said, we get a division and people go up against each other.
Yeah. That's how it should be. So, yeah. I mean, my initial question before we recorded the podcast would have been to you, who do you want his first defense to be against? But it's a bit too late for that now. What the fuck? when the match was done, I was like, you know what? Ooh, we're cooking.
Ooh, yeah, Ian. But when I first saw it, yeah.
I was like, we're Ian. But then when I saw Ring of Honor, I said, he's defended the belt against Christopher Daniels. Okay, what the fuck? No build, no context. It's like,
why is Christopher Daniels even challenging for that title? Like, what's the reason?
Like Hardy B would say, what's the reason?
Tell me
what the fucking reason.
I didn't want to be that guy, but yeah, I saw it on paper. I said, for what reason?
The main event. 15 years worth of beefing. We have
why are you saying it like that?
I mean, that's what they sold it as, you know, 15-year feud. Claudio Castagnoli versus Eddie Kingston for the ROH World Championship. And I won't lie to you, this was a banger.
Did you actually enjoy it?
This was a good match, I'll be real.
Like I said, Eddie Kingston, man.
I'm just dampened down by the result. Eddie should have won. That's more so my only gripe. I cook Claudio, but I think it's undeniable that Claudio is a great wrestler. Like, I'll never take that away from him. Like, this match felt like a real fight. Like, it felt like a real war. Some of the spots that they were doing, a lot of the suplexes and some of the stuff outside, the slapping, it was like, it felt very personal.
Personal, yeah. It must be difficult work. Not difficult, but it's complicated working with someone that you genuinely don't like in real life, innit?
Yeah.
But then it does make up to have sometimes, in some cases, a very, very good match because everything just looks like it comes across authentic and real. So, yeah, shout out to these two. I mean, I just this is something about Eddie that just, I don't know, it's not clicking with me. It's never clicked with me. I like him as... a promo. I feel like as a promo, he's one of the top, like one of the very best. But just in ring, I'm just kind of just like, go away. So I hear it. I see why you would want the belt off Claudio because he has been a very boring champion. Not going to lie.
Stylish.
He's been stinky. But then at the same time, I don't know if Eddie is... Sounds harsh, but it's not someone you put as a face of a company. As harsh as that may sound. And if he ever hears this, I cannot step foot in his city. But still,
Okay, I but the thing is, I see it as this year.
Yeah.
Because since Eddie signed to AEW, there was always this, like, I don't know, this obsession. I almost look at it like a kink. Because a lot of these fans are kinky niggas, innit? I look at it as like a kink of, like, Eddie should win the world title or drop it, like, the next day. Or someone should cash in on him. Like, I'm just like, why do you want that for your world champion? Like, why do you want their run to just solely be the praise and the chase of it, as opposed to like an actual good title run? Because for me, like, at one point I did see Eddie as someone who I could view as maybe like a world champion. And as time went on, I started to realize, and this is no disrespect to Eddie, I look at Eddie like a glorified loser. For me, Eddie's a glorified loser. Eddie is someone that is, will win the medial matches, he'll win the matches that don't necessarily matter, some of the decent feuds, but he bottles it when it comes to the big
fights. To the big fight, yeah.
When it comes to the big fights, always bottles it. So, of course, with certain wrestlers, the chase of it is always good, and it adds to their story. We've seen it this weekend with Sanada, you know, but at the same time, I don't ever look at a wrestler and think to myself, yeah, I want them to win just so they can lose it. Because that chase of them chasing after it again, or their character development from that, would be amazing. Brother, who gives a fuck about all that shit? who wants to see that?
Yeah, for real. For real.
Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, if he's chasing the title, promo of a lifetime. We'll be getting sick promos here and there. He'll be telling us how he's from New York and, you know, how he nearly got killed and how he's nearly, he's seen people die and, you know, how he could have chosen to either strap a gun or strap his boots. Like, we hear the promos all the time, and, you know, I'm invested. I'm good. I like them. But at the same time, like, come on. He wins the title. He gets this jovial celebration, and then he loses it the next night. He loses it at AEW Dynamite a few days later. For what? What's the point?
That's the thing with Eddie for me. It's just like, you win the title, cool. And then I just don't see what's next after that. Like, I'd rather him... I guess I'm still in the same boat where I'd rather him just not win the title.
And the thing is, when people say that, for me, I'm just like, then give him the Ring of Honor world title then. Like, you can be, like, you're not necessarily the face of a, you're not the face of a TV show, you're the face of a streaming platform. And then, and for the most part, let's be real, AEW does not give a shit about the Ring of Honor world title. It's under the same umbrella. But the Ring of Honor world title is a match that is a belt that they fucking defend on Dark.
Yeah, they
Dark
can't
Elevation.
It, like, they can't make it as prestigious as the AEW belt.
That upsets me because I'm a Ring of Honor fan. We're Ring of Honor fans. Yeah. I've always looked at the Ring of Honor world title as up there. Mm-hmm. But now it's literally just above the NWA world title. Just above it. A little bit. And that doesn't help that Clujo has it. When Jericho had it, it was gone. It skyrocketed. Then Claudio on it back again. It's like, oh, whoops, here we go again. It's a fucking trinket. It's a fucking 2K belt. Unlockable.
So, so my question to you is...
A pop down, who's... down belt.
That belt is horrible. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that belt. Who's next? I know that was the inevitable question, but...
Yeah, who's next? I don't know. I couldn't tell you because, bro, honestly,
the guy that should have been next still holds a championship. That's what irritates me. I wanted to see Samoa Joe versus Claudio.
That would have been a sick match.
Sick feud, sick match. And you would have given the belt to Samoa Joe. There's no way Claudio retained.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I would have probably gone Claudio, then Eddie, and then maybe Samoa. Claudio, Eddie, Samoa Joe. And then, don't know how long Samoa Joe will hold the belt. But at some point, maybe Mark Briscoe win the belt. Final battle. I'm still screaming that. I said that first episode, I'm still screaming that. Final battle.
Defending that one, innit?
Mark Briscoe has to be fighting for the world title. He has to fight for the
I
title.
Hear it. He has to fight for the world title. But obviously, now we haven't got that.
I couldn't tell you, because even what's happening on AEW TV with BCC, for me, it makes no sense why Claudio still has the title. Because, bro, you've got bigger fish to fry. You've got the Elite. Why do you need to keep coming back here? Because unless maybe Claudio's next big feud. So I don't know how long this BCC and Elite feud is going to be for. Unless the Elite come to Ring of Honor and cost Claudio the world title, that's my only justification of him potentially keeping this title. Because I honestly don't see why he still has this belt. If the Elite are able to cost him the title, then I hold my hands up. Mm-hmm. Cool, fair enough. It's furthering another story. It's not helping Ring of Honor, but it's furthering another story, which makes sense. But other than that, I couldn't tell you his name.
Unless Nigel McGuinness gets up out of his seat and starts.
I was just about to ask you that. Nigel McGuinness hasn't wrestled in God knows how many years since TNA.
Mm.
I've been hearing murmurs that he could potentially return back to wrestling. I don't know how true that is. I don't want to listen to people on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't researched anything in terms of like whether he's been cleared by doctors, because we've seen it in the past with wrestlers like the likes of that Soraya.
Yeah.
Other wrestlers where they weren't cleared by WWE doctors, but they got cleared by outside doctors. But then after I don't know where Nigel McGuinness's situation. And it's been a while since he's wrestled. I don't know whether he still has it in him. I'm sure the ring rust is ring cobwebs
real.
At this point. Is,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's eroding at this point. But that would be very interesting to see.
I'd be here for it. I know it's someone that you could say or argue that doesn't deserve because he's just popped up out of his commentary seat and just said, I'm challenging for the world title. But this is where you again are right in terms of not necessarily building a world title division, but not building up contenders for the world title, because you could say Takeshka, you could say him, because bro just don't lose. He's heavily
unless it's the big match.
Yeah, unless it's a big match.
Claudio versus Takeshita, I don't think we've had that, and I would like to see that.
Be a good match.
I would like to see that for the world.
I don't know how you tell the story, though, because I don't know if Takeshita's English is good enough to hold a story. But then again, you probably don't even need a story. It's probably just...
Yeah.
Maybe Claudio handpicks him, says, you know what, I've seen what you've been doing. Would you like to challenge for the world title?
Yeah. I mean, Don Callis has been trying to... has been liaising with Takeshita for a while.
So yeah,
maybe, Don Callis is the one that steps up to the plate and says, listen, you might have beef with my Elite guys, that's cool, but for the meantime, here's my guy.
Yeah.
Takeshita comes out. I'd like to see that. Jeez. I think that'd be dope.
That'd be cold.
That'd be really dope, man. But yeah, that was, what's it called? That was Supercard of Honor. Out of 5, how would you rate the pay-per-view?
Give it 3.5.
Okay.
We'll give that. What about you? 4, yeah.
4 out of 5. It was a good thing.
Mm.
Minus the results. Actually, I'll go 3.8.
Yay!
Two of the results have made it go down. But for the most part, it's a short pay-per-view. Good matches top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong. Let's fast forward a little bit. I know you watched a bit of Impact this week. How was it?
Yep.
I know Josh Alexander, he...
relinquished.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That scene of his son going to grab the belt. It's, bro, cinema.
It was good. Let me not even try and downplay it. I did enjoy Impact this week. Minus every time that zombie character is on the show, I'm never going to fully rate it. Until he's gone, I'm never fully rating it. But yeah, I enjoyed it. The opener, I really enjoyed. I just this week though, I just became a big fan of TMDK. Just this week.
Oh, I'm a fan. I love him.
I'm a big fan now.
I'm just upset that WWE run didn't go to plan.
Yeah,
they were killing it, and even before Bronson Reed went back to WWE. He became the leader of TMDK and he was absolutely killing it. He left, and then I don't know. I feel like Zack Sabre Jr. now being the leader has
skyrocketed. Taking it to different levels, yeah.
Now they got Robbie Eagles. Yeah.
Gone. Yeah, I've seen that.
Faction with bare man. That's all you need. Do you know what I mean? They got five men now, so you know what I mean?
And then Shane even tweeted out the other day, like, the list of members that they've had. And the list is clear, you know? Like, it's got
Bronson
some...
Bronson Reed, Preston Vance. I can't remember who else was in there. But bro, they've had members, bro.
They've had man in there, bro. I was looking at it, I said, cool. This
gang
faction
members.
Is...
gang members. Even yeah, me too. They... I want to be part of TMDK, fam. I want to be part of TMDK, fam.
When you see the shirt in a couple of weeks, don't ask
bro,
questions.
When you see the shirt next episode, TMDK.
Okay, trust me. Don't ask questions. But yeah, now Impact was great. I really like the ending, obviously, with Josh relinquishing the title and then, you know, them going back and forth with, I can't remember his name now. I keep forgetting his name. The stalker. I'm going to call him the stalker. You know what I'm talking about? The number one contender.
Steve Macklin.
Basically saying that, you know, he's a dickhead, basically. And he feels like he's guaranteed to win the championship, but he's not. It was interesting. I like that they are not dragging it out, but making a story out of it. Because they could have just simply said, all right, cool, boom, boom, you two.
Yeah.
But they're making a story out of it, which is nice. Would you have done the whole keep Josh Alexander as a champion and then crown another champion and then when he comes back, you know?
Oh, as in like interim champion.
Interim champ. I know it's been overdone.
Fucking hate interim champions, I swear to you. Listen, look at my eyes. I hate them with a passion. I fucking can't stand interim champions.
Fair enough. But one... I feel like just because of Josh's run has been For Impact standard anyway, it's been very good.
Yeah.
So for him to just have to relinquish it and disappear for now, what, maybe 5 months?
Hey, man. Gotta charge it to the game.
Right? I was gonna say the game's the game.
You gotta charge it to the game with your contactless, fam. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's been interesting like the last few years when we're doing the whole like interim champion stories. But my only issue is that interim champions are only interim champions. They're never actual official champions. And I don't think that's fair on the wrestlers who end up winning the belt and then end up defending it. Because once they, if they now lose to the person that comes back, on their record, it's just interim. It's not true. Official champion, which isn't fair. Do you know what I mean? And true. Two, like, if you're injured and you can't compete, you're getting paid anyways. You just can't compete. You're not a champion. Like, for me, I think it's the right thing to do. Just relinquish the title belt. And, you know, once you come back, you get first dibs. Do you know what I mean? Whether you win it back or not, You work your way up again. But Steve Macklin has to win. He's been chasing that belt for 2 years. Since pandemic. Since the Panini. Since the Panini, he's been chasing that belt. Like at this point, I feel like I've had more of a chance to win the belt before he has. And that's not fair because Steve Macklin has been killing it. In the X Division, he was killing it. Bro, like Steve Macklin is like, and it's crazy to me to think, like sometimes I forget he was in WWE.
Yeah, and I was gonna say,
it's night and day how he was in WWE and Impact. The matches he's had in Impact compared to what he was doing in the tag team, bro, come on, man. Steve Macklin is one of the best wrestlers in that company, so it's only right. It's only right.
Fair enough.
And his girlfriend is Deonna Purrazzo. Come on, man. I'm true, a fan. True. So come on, if that's your missus, if that's your missus, low key, they can say you don't necessarily need the world title because you have her. But listen, well, man can't live on bread alone. Sometimes you have to be greedy and have everything. Yeah, I mean, I hear it. I honestly hear it.
And then, do you like where they've gone with the X Division Championship? We have Gresham and Mike Bailey. They had a number one contenders match for the X Division Championship. I'd never really saw Gresham being in the X Division per se, but you know, when they announced that, I said, all right, cool, fair enough, this is the direction they want to go down, because they've been, like you said, Gresham seems to be just kind of like at home now, like in Impact. It doesn't seem, I mean, I would love him to go back to Ring of Honor, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen under TK's watch.
Just crazy, I was reading his interview that he did where he was speaking about his departure from Ring of Honor, and as much as it seems like there's bad, I can't remember everything, but as much as it seems like there's maybe like bad blood, I feel like for him, he just felt like he was just completely done unjust, but he just feels like there was maybe certain things that he done through going to therapy he could have done better. So,
oh, fair enough.
In terms of that, I don't think the door is like completely wide shut. I just think for him now, I think he just needs to take his time in TNA, do what you need to do, and then I'm sure like Tony Khan just seems to be like a very forgiving guy. He's not. I don't look at him like a Vince McMahon or Triple H where it's just burgeoning hate. Like, yeah, if I hate you,
yeah, facts. Because even Leo Rush said, you know, him and TK still talk like pretty much every other day. And he left on kind of bad terms when you really look at the situation. So yeah, maybe not. Yeah, but
I mean, him in the X Division, I think it will help him. I think it's good because one, the lineage of X Division champions is amazing. Two, we also remember that X Division title comes with the option C. He can cash in that belt for that world heavyweight title whenever he's ready to do so. And three, I think stylistically, because Jonathan Gresham can do everything, I think it works perfectly for him now. Just so people can consistently see him, just work the X Division style for now.
Yeah.
Just work the X Division style. That's completely fine. Like, that doesn't take it. Being in the X Division doesn't take anything away from you. So, would I like to see him as a world champion or a pure champion again? Of course. Of course. But this is something new for him, and I think it works. And the matches he's been having with Mike Bailey have been fucking mad.
Fucking amazing, bro.
They've been fucking mad.
Their third match this week was really good. It ended in a no contest. X Division champion decided he wanted to get involved. So we could potentially now be getting a triple threat match, which I don't really mind. Guess one of them has to be protected. I don't know who, maybe Mike Bailey might be the one being protected, but still... Yeah, man. Impact seems to be going in the right direction.
Impact's cooking, man. And I have this. This is probably a wild hot take.
Mm.
In the next year, what's today's date? The 10th of April.
Yeah.
In the next year, Mike Bailey would have been an Impact World Champion.
No, I can't see it. I can't see it, bro.
Bro, Mike Bailey will be an Impact Champion the next year. He would have at least won it, or by this time next year, he would be in a hot feud for that Impact World title.
They're really high on him, though.
Bro, from the minute he got hired by Impact, I said he's going to win the world title. I don't know when, but within the first 5 years of him being in Impact, he would have won that title. And I think it's either been a year or two. It might have been a year so far. I think he's either going to win the world title or he's going to be competing in a high-level feud for the world title.
Fair enough.
It's weird because I can't unsee it.
You see it. That's your vision, isn't it? So we'll come and back
when I'm right. I promise you that episode of Indicator is gonna be all reverb. I'm gonna cause my hell out that podcast. I'm gonna spoil it. All reverb, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh God, man.
No, but yeah, Impact's wicked, man. This is why we have the Indicators, because I'm sure a lot of you probably don't know what's happening in Impact at the moment, or you're probably thinking, oh, TNA is still about, what the hell are they doing? That's why us men are here, to give you guys the latest scoop and goss to let you guys know.
New Japan,
Sakura Genesis. Hey. Can't lie, top to bottom, this card was cold. But
you watched it. I've only seen a few matches. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Top to bottom, I think it was, obviously, like with all cards, it's not every match you put on a card. One thing I will say is Sho from the House of Torture, he's one of my guys, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But he's become a full-fledged comedy wrestler now. That it looks like. And it fucking pisses me off. Because for me, I always looked at him as like the future of the Super Junior division. But yeah, it's looking like he's just going to be
good.
A flippy version of Toriyanu. Just going to be busting joke and pulling out a wrench, and I don't like that for him because he's talented. He should have been a multi-time junior heavyweight champion, but clearly they have other plans for him. They want people to laugh. So yeah, man, fuck the bookers, because I'm not fucking happy with that, because I'm a big fan of Sho. For me, he's better than Yo, but Yo has been killing it, and it's pissing me off because Yo is good. But when they first split up, I thought Yo was very boring. I thought Sho had the charisma, he had the look, he had the skill. But the past year showed me that it's not. Sometimes your heroes will trick you, and I've been tricked. I can see it because I'm being tricked to my show. And up and down the card, no matter where it is, whether it's Wrestle Kingdom, whether it's Dominion, whether it's Sakura Genesis, whether it's fucking the Super Junior All Star Festival, show just wants to make people laugh. And bro, go to a fucking comedy club.
Go to the E.
Or be a character in the fucking Yakuza game, or fucking Sleeping Dogs. Go be a Sleeping Dogs 2 if you want to make people laugh. New Japan shouldn't be placed.
Oh, good. Gosh.
You're too young in your career to be doing that. Anyways, let's get on to more pressing matters, better matches. Mm-hmm. What matches did you see? And we'll talk about those.
Well, one thing, I'm just going to touch on the elephant in the room, Sonata. Right.
I was shocked, but I'm here for it.
I was absolutely shocked, bro. I couldn't believe it. Like, I thought I was seeing something that happened years ago and I just missed it. I didn't see it. But, fam, it's looking... Do you think they kind of passed this Okada era now? Do you think, like, it's a completely new era, or do you think they just wanted a shock factor for the show? I just think it's a shock factor. I don't think it's...
Until Okada is crippled, it will always be his era. I'm so sorry. Because until Shota is at the top, that's who I see is going to be like the next star.
That's what I think,
But I think for now, I think it's just more so kind of giving Okada a break, kind of giving us something new. Because one thing, the problem with a lot of these Japanese companies, especially New Japan, they like to regurgitate the same thing over and over again. We get the same New Japan Cup winners, the same Best of Super Junior winners, the same. Do you know what I mean? We never get anything new. And when we do get new people, when they end up winning, like maybe like a New Japan Cup or a G1 Climax, they never win the title.
Yeah.
And then they have to always resort to good old trusty Okada to win so he can get back the title. And to me, it's a bit boring, man. And I feel like now, like, firstly, seeing Just Five Guys beat LIJ, that's when I was like, oh, okay, because they cut a promo saying how they want to change the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, cool. This is something different because we rarely see, like, these are men that, a few of these men were in flipping Suzuki-gun. And when Just Five Guys became a thing, I didn't ever look at them as, like, anything. I just thought, yeah, these are just going
to be drunk. Yeah, sure.
But when I saw them beat LIJ, I was like, oh, okay, tides are turning. Tides are really turning. Maybe I should have saw this when Tanada won the New Japan Cup, because initially I wanted... David Finley to win.
David Finley, yeah, I was but in David Finley.
Now I'm thinking it was the right decision for Sonada to win. But seeing Sonada win, I was like, yo, because Sonada was doing this whole thing of like, yeah, I don't have time to drop people in their heads. I'm a wrestler. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But now he's changed up his look. He doesn't look boring anymore. Seems very personable. He's always been a world dressed man.
Looks like a champion now.
Now he's dropping people in their heads, and it's like, okay, I'm getting shit done. So. And, you know, there was loads of callbacks to their last match when they fought for the world title, how, you know, Sonada couldn't find the counter to the Rainmaker. And, you know, this DDT that he's doing, which is, I think it is called the Rainmaker DDT, when Fingy...
That's disrespectful.
Velveteen Dream. I think he used to call it the Rainmaker DDT.
Mm-hmm.
That being the his finisher.
His finisher,
I love the move. But that being the reversal to the Rainmaker, I'm just like, it's poetic. And just seeing him win, like when the referee hit three, I said, oh shit. Like,
I was shocked, bro.
One of them was like, I already knew the result. But I'm watching, I'm thinking, oh shit.
Actually happened.
Okay. He's the champion.
Let's
fucking go. Do you know what I mean? So
I can't remember who it was as well, but after the match, I was on YouTube and I watched some stuff that they did backstage. And bro, I'm like, can you let this man rest? Okada's there breathing heavy, depressed, sad like this on his knees. I can't remember who it was yet, but it was just like, oh yeah, we want to face you. Like me and my guys want to face you in a six-man, find two man. Bro's just lost the world title. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, let him go through it a little bit. You man are not even letting him breathe.
What's mad is it's probably gonna be like Toriyanu or Yoshihashi or go to like someone from Chaos. It's not going to be anybody like new or anything.
New. Yeah,
it was like, what's the plan, man?
I did watch the women's match as well.
That, bro, for me, that's match of the night.
That cooked, man.
That was match of the night. Azumi Mercedes. And Hazuki and Mercedes. For me, that was match of the night.
She's told everyone to shut up.
Like, that, bro, that match.
What type of music is this? Banga by Dizio, baby.
Bro.
Mercedes is telling everyone to shut up because I was trying to. She said, I was trying to tell you what I was about in the E and you weren't listening. Now I'm out here shining. What are you really saying now? Like, how can you doubt me now, fam?
Bro, all three of them, from Azumi to Azuki, bro, they absolutely hooked. And
hooked, man.
Like, you could tell there were certain parts where, like, when Mercedes weren't involved, them not just wanted to go off. They just wanted to, like, they just wanted to show speed and say, listen, you know what? We're on a New Japan platform. Let us show you what Stardom is about. We're going to show you what this... We're going to show you what speed is. We're going to show you what a true triple threat match is. And, bro, like, none of them missed.
None of them missed. They made a statement.
None of them missed, bro.
That match felt like a statement to me.
Bro,
personally.
None of that. Bro, for me, it was like, we are here. Like, we're the only women's match on this card. All right, cool. We're going to show you that we're going to have the best match. And for me, easily, it was... It's debatable between this match and the tag team match.
I have not seen that one. Am I missing out?
Bro, what?
I've seen the results, so I know.
The matches, and this is for everybody that's watching as well, if you haven't seen Sakura Genesis, the matches I would suggest, Triple Threat, Triple Threat match with Mercedes, Azumi, and Azuki, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Shota Umino. That match there, I want to put a reverb on. Can't be asked. That match was incredible. Aussie Open versus Bushimon, incredible. I'm gonna sit here and say it. Everybody can cook me. I don't give a fuck. This match was better than this card, top to bottom, was better than Wrestle Kingdom.
Fair enough.
This card, top to bottom, maybe no. Outside of the six man tag, the Minoru Suzuki, Greta.
Will and Kenny.
Okay, but that's just one. That's just one match.
All right, cool.
But top to bottom,
yeah.
Each match for me was better than Wrestle Kingdom.
Wow.
You guys can cook me. I don't give a fuck. You guys can cook me. But
to be fair, the two matches I've watched so far have been very, very good.
Bro,
the triple threat and the main event.
Matches are maybe absolutely dumb.
Bro, maybe I shouldn't have skipped. Maybe I should have just... Because I was trying to make sure I watched it in time. Like, or watch the main ones in time, but...
No, don't get me wrong. Like, there's matches where it's like, you don't have to watch it. Serviceable.
Yeah.
Skip to the end. Like, for example, Bullet Club versus... Tamatonga, Hikuleo, Master Huerto. Like, that match wasn't that great, but the story behind it was just more so the dissension between David Finlay and El Phantasmo. And El Phantasmo is now out of Bullet Club. Well, he's been kicked out of Bullet Club. It's going to be interesting to kind of see what happens there. I mean, I don't know, weirdly enough, watching this segment, I don't know if this is a good thing. I don't like David Finlay. I don't know if that's him being a good heel, or if that's me just like, already being sick.
I was going to ask, is that personal? Like, do you feel?
No, the thing is, I think David Finlay's great. As a wrestler, I think he's good. But because I'm so used to him not being a dickhead and a jackass, now that he is a bit of it, I'm just like, I'm not feeling you. But that doesn't, I don't think it's a feeling you have like, pause of me not liking the way you wrestle or like, I think he's a good wrestler. I think he's great at what he does. I just don't like him. Like, I mean, maybe this is what Bullet Club need. They actually need a leader where fuck all this
hating.
Fuck all this shit. We're about business. Let's get to business. Because the commentators did make a good notice about how Bullet Club aren't in any title scenes at the moment. Not the
Mad.
Never. I mean, now,
well, obviously in New Japan.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously, David Finney's going to be fighting for the never openweight title. But before, they're not involved in any title picture whatsoever, outside of like the Americans, isn't it? So, yeah.
And there was one point they had all the belts, so kind of need to get back to business, isn't it?
And I think this weekend was like the 10-year anniversary of when Bullet Club first came out.
Hey, we're getting old. That's scary, you know, because it feels like yesterday that they were just put together and.
Exactly.
We've had so many great leaders pass on, Omega, Finn Balor, and AJ Styles. And
Even Cody, small.
Yeah, Cody.
Co-captain. It's crazy. Crazy, 10 man.
10 years.
Yeah, man. But yeah, no, Sakura Genesis was a great show, man. Honestly, I enjoyed it top to bottom. Yeah, even matches I haven't mentioned, like Hiromu Takahashi, Robbie Eagles. Eagles is over as hell, man.
Yeah, I've heard about Eagles him.
Eagles is over as hell. Yeah, man, like, it's... Yeah, top to bottom, I'm looking forward to their next few shows. They've got New Japan Strong shows and stuff in America. I think they've got 2 shows in America. And then, they've announced Best of Super Junior. I think the lineup is coming out either this week or next week. And then, obviously, they've done an announcement for G1 Climax. It should be interesting. Hopefully, they are not boring. And they, you know, look to add people from, shocked. You know, the AEW, yeah. The Ring of Honors, DDT, Noah. You know, you've got all these relationships. Use them. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Tired of all the same brackets, all the same people and the same matchups. Like, don't get me wrong, the matches will bang. That's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The match quality isn't the problem. It's just
the lineups.
Give us something fresh, man. Give us something new. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tired of going to Enish and eating jollof rice and have jollof rice at home. Sometimes give me, I don't know, like egusi soup and yam porridge or something. Is it?
Wow, I need jollof rice now, man.
You know I mean,
like, you made me hungry.
Give us something else, man. We're trying to eat. We're trying to eat well, man. You know what I mean,
MLW.
Got 5 minutes. It cuts off.
So the I'm not going to go over everything. The one thing I do want to talk about is the open weight. It's middleweight or open weight. The one that Lindsay Dorado holds.
Oh, the middleweight, yeah.
The middleweight. That is looking very interesting, that scene right now.
I haven't seen MLW, but yeah.
So Leo Rush came out before the match and basically just did the whole, I'm the greatest middleweight champion of all time, MLW. Sat down at commentary. He was giving me jokes. He was just chatting rubbish. Lindsay Dorado went up against Son of Havoc.
Okay.
And it was a very it was a good match, and then all hell broke loose. Rush did what he did, tacked him with the belt, and basically he said, you know, cool, this belt's mine. Left the ring, took the middleweight belt. So we've got a bit of a story developing between Dorado and Rush, and again, hate bringing them up, but they can tell history from the E, saying that, you know, they did what they did. They didn't make it there. They came here. Yeah. Now we're bringing the fight here. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. So that was good. You mentioned that the Fatu and... Is it John Henning?
Yeah. Let's call him Johnny MLW.
Yeah,
Johnny Major.
Yeah, apparently that match was good. I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, I heard that match was great.
Need to watch that as well. But yeah, MLW, again, doing fine. I think someone was heard us because there was less Lucha references and less Lucha Underground style presentation in this show. It was more MLW, which is what I like. So yeah, again, if you're not watching Impact, if you're not watching MLW, I highly recommend it, man. Those two shows. And MLW is very easy to digest. In total, it's like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Fine, man. Well, this has been a very long episode of... I mean, I feel like I like the longer episodes.
Anyway. Oh, quick one. Two quick things. I don't know if you saw. I don't know if it's storyline or if it's real, but Enzo has been fired.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I don't know if that's story or thing. And he just literally... They just showed his match with Macro Man.
Bro, he was just on the show this week.
They just showed his match with Macro Man. Oh, the way he drop-kicked Macro Man was hilarious. he flew like a chewing gum. So sorry, the way he flew was brazen.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, I don't even know.
And the last thing is, are you a fan of the new Ring of Honor belts?
Nah, I mean they're not bad. They're nice, but at the same time, they're not like they're like a lazy 2K job. Like, yeah. I just want to create some quick belts. So
yep,
like
seems like they didn't put any time into it. It was just. Yeah. Cool. Every belt can look relatively the same. Same silver color. Like, nah. I think they should have just kept the belts that they had before they returned.
Yeah, exactly. The belts, those belts were calm. They didn't really have them for that long as well, but Tony Khan is going to Tony Khan in it. We're going to give Ring of Honor these belts, but then we'll be presenting the international belt and the Ring of... Look at the belts that they have in AW. Them belts have got fucking bust downs on them, bust down bezels.
It's insane, isn't it?
Baguettes. You're coming to give these man the plain Janes. You're taking a piss, man.
That TNT belt that Jade has, fam, is
bro, bust down Avalanche. Bust down Rolly Avalanche. Oh my OBJ. Come on, man. Matchup. What are we saying for match recommendations this week?
Do you have one? See, I'm keep forgetting.
I'm just gonna go. Seeing as we're talking indie, let's keep it indie. Mark Oku versus Takeshita PWG. Banger.
Che. Yeah, you win. Because I ain't even got a match. I need to write a list down so I'm ready every week.
Takeshita versus Mark Oku. Banger.
Who was it? There was a match I did watch recently. It was Zack Sabre Jr. versus someone, and I completely forgot the opponent. Yeah. But it was for the TV title. Shout out to New Japan, by the way. I see you lot. You lot are doing work. I don't know if you noticed this, but every TV championship match gets put on YouTube as well.
Okay.
Because it's TV.
Well, yeah, yeah, makes sense.
They're smart people. But yeah, that's it, man.
That's it. Next week, we're going to have, I think, maybe two episodes. Maybe it's like a normal one and then like an extra. We've got some very, very special guests coming on. It's definitely this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got some very special guests. If you're a 2K gamer like us, you're eating.
Enjoy.
And if you watch their show this weekend,
yeah,
we're going to be eating. We're going to be talking about everything. So obviously, we're going to do It Boys, and then we're going to do It Boys Extra, the 2K lovers. Is it? So yeah, man. Mm-hmm. It's been your boy Del Boy.
It's been Young Wolf.
It Boys Indie Takers. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe. Yeah, keep supporting, man. Indie way, no way. Wow.
Wow.